Westminster Weekend up next on Abounding Grace Radio. Join us. Pastor Chris Gordon, and on behalf of the Linden United Reformed Church, we bring you Westminster Weekend. Well, thank you for tuning in today to the program. As you know, typically on Fridays, we discuss issues of Reformed theology, the doctrines of grace. Well, from now on our Friday programs, we're launching a new program called Westminster Weekend. And we have the privilege of having with us Dr. R. Scott Clark of Westminster Seminary, California. And what a privilege this is, Dr. Clark, to have you on the program today. I would like to begin by just having you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do at Westminster Seminary.
Hi, Chris. Happy to be with you. I, as you say, I'm professor of church history and historical theology, and so it means that 5 days a week I teach courses in ancient church history, medieval church history, Reformation, and post-Reformation church history and historical theology. So sometimes we look a little bit more at the institutions and sometimes a little bit more at the history of theology. I teach also courses on the Reformed confessions, both the three forms of unity, that is the Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgic Confession, and the Canons of Dort. And I teach a course on the Westminster Standards as well, the Westminster Confession of Faith, and then the larger and shorter catechisms. Also a minister. That's really my primary vocation, and my call is to fulfill that vocation here at the seminary. But I preach as I have opportunity. I've been known to teach an adult catechism class. I do some speaking, traveling and speaking, and I do some writing as well.
Great. At some point, I would love to have you come up and speak for us at the Linden URC. On our Friday sessions, I have given heavy emphasis on Reformed theology, and we have a lot of listeners who very much appreciate Reformed theology, who are in Reformed churches, but there are many people out there who have no idea of what Reformed means at all and what this thing Reformed is, and that there is a whole history of churches that come out of the Reformation and that are Reformed churches. Maybe you could comment a little bit for us on the meaning of Reformed.
Well, the word Reformed comes out of the 16th century Reformation, in which Martin Luther was the first really great Protestant theologian, rebelled against an established way of thinking, chiefly about the nature of God's Word and about the nature of acceptance with God and about the Christian life. And the Reformation said that Scripture is the principal, unique, final, and in that sense, only authority for faith and life, so that everything the church does in worship and everything it teaches has to be faithful to and come out of and controlled by the Bible as God's Word. The church had succeeded over a period of time, partly in response to heresies, errors, and challenges, marginalized Scripture and said, well, Scripture is the Word of God. There was never any question about that, but Scripture has to be interpreted by someone, and that's certainly true. And then they went beyond that and said, not only does Scripture have to be interpreted, with which the Protestants certainly agreed, they said, in fact, you heretics have no right to interpret Scripture because the church produced the Scripture. And so in response to heresy, the medieval church had made the church the mother of Scripture and really, in effect, replaced the central authority of the Word of God for the church and for the Christian faith and for Christian teaching with the authority of the church. And so Martin Luther and the Protestant reformers following him said, no, the Word of God has central authority, primary authority, unique authority, and in that sense, it is the only authority. And so the slogan for that was sola scriptura. Scripture alone is the final authority for faith and life. Martin Luther also said that the medieval church was wrong in the way it was telling people to think about and believe that we are accepted with God. The technical word for that is justification or righteousness. How are we righteous? How are we accepted with God? The medieval church had said that God accepts those who are personally, inherently, intrinsically righteous. And we get that way, they said, by grace, not by grace alone, but by grace and cooperation with grace. And so the medieval church said, and the Roman church came to say in the 16th century, that we're given grace in baptism. And then it's up to us to do our part. And we have to cooperate with that grace. And to the degree we cooperate with that grace, we become sanctified. And God looks at us and says, in effect, when you are fully sanctified, then you are righteous, and then I will recognize that you're righteous. And Martin Luther and the rest of the Protestants said, well, listen, first of all, that doesn't match up with human experience, because none of us is ever really righteous. None of us is ever perfectly sanctified in this life. And more importantly, it doesn't match up with what the Scriptures teach about acceptance with God. The Scriptures teach that God justifies the ungodly. He justifies the sinner, not the people who are intrinsically, inherently righteous, who've done their part to cooperate with grace. And so the Reformation said, Luther and John Calvin and the other great reformers said, we are saved, that is, delivered from sin and the consequences of sin, by grace alone, and we're justified by grace alone through faith alone. So it's not grace and, it's just grace alone. And then finally, they said faith alone. We are not justified because we are sanctified. We're justified because Christ was righteous, Christ was holy, Christ was obedient, and everything that he did is reckoned to us, credited to us, imputed to us, and we receive that by resting and trusting, relying in Jesus Christ alone, and we call that faith alone, or sola fide, by faith alone. That's the alone instrument by which we receive Christ and his benefits. So those are the three of the most basic doctrines of the Reformed faith, and those were the basic evangelical doctrines in the 16th and 17th centuries. And the word Reformed simply describes one part of the Protestant Reformation that embraced those basic doctrines and then formulated them in a series of confessional documents, churchly documents, such as the Heidelberg Catechism in 1563, the Belgic Confession in 1561, and the Canons of Dort in 1619.
Scott, you are a professor at Westminster Seminary, California, and this is a seminary that is devoted to the truths of Reformed theology. And maybe some of our listeners have never heard about Westminster Seminary, California. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you do. What is so important for us to know about Westminster Seminary, California?
Well, the first thing that the listener should know is that you can find out about us on the web at wscal.edu, or you can call us at 888-480-8474. That's 888-480-8474, and we will be happy to send you information about the seminary. This is a Reformed seminary. We train ministers chiefly for confessional, that is, Bible-believing, conservative, Reformed and Presbyterian churches in North America and all over the world. This campus has been in existence since 1980, and so we're celebrating our 30th anniversary here in San Diego County. We're connected to Westminster, or we were originally connected to Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, which was founded in 1929 by J. Gresham Machen, one of the great heroes of the Christian faith, really, in the early part of the 20th century. And as I say, in 1979, 1980, this campus was founded as an extension of the work of Westminster Theological Seminary. We became an independent seminary a few years after that, as part of the sort of natural maturity process. And We've trained and graduated, at least we've had, about 800 students or so in the life of the seminary. About 70% of our students are in pastoral ministry, serving congregations all over the globe. I don't know how many countries there are in which we have graduates, but it might be the case that it would be easier to count the countries where we don't have graduates than it would be to count the countries where we do have graduates. We're training people in the scriptures. We're training them to read the Bible in the original languages. We're one of the few seminaries where we don't cut corners on that. And Chris, you are a student here, so you remember what that's like, and you're still making use of those skills. So we require our students when they come, if they don't know Greek and Hebrew, that they have to learn it. We do seminary in that sense the old-fashioned way. And we train them in the history of the church. We train them in the theology of Scripture, in systematic theology, and then we train them in the pastoral ministry. We train them in the work of applying the truth that they've been learning in their other courses to the life of the congregation. So everything from conducting Bible studies all the way to pulpit ministry, where we spend a great deal of our time always, working with the students to help them to become faithful preachers of the Word of God.
Right. And I had the blessing to attend Westminster Seminary, California, and sit under professors like you, Scott, and Michael Horton, and W. Robert Godfrey, and many other wonderful men. What a blessing it was to sit under these men and to be trained in what I believe is so important today, how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible, how to preach the Bible, and what a benefit that is for Christ Church at large. There are so many misconceptions, though, about seminary today, and today you hear so many people speak loosely about being called to the ministry and being sent out, and everyone seems to be sent out. It almost seems that seminary is being bypassed and that you can get courses on the internet now and these sorts of things. Why is it so important to have that face-to-face interaction, and especially at a place like Westminster Seminary, California, where the studies are rigorous and challenging? I mean, I can testify to that. There were nights in which it was agonizing to even know where to begin. And yet the fruit of that today in the life of the congregation, to be able to teach the Word of God properly. Would you like to comment on that, the misconceptions and the benefits for Christ Church at large to have this education at Westminster Seminary, California?
Since the early 19th century, there's been a lot of pressure in America to in a sense, water down or tone down the education of ministers. And we've resisted that pressure for a very long time at Westminster Seminary, California, particularly. And we're convinced that the ministry is the highest calling that a human being can have, to stand in the pulpit and open up the Bible, God's holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God, and to proclaim the whole counsel of God. And we are convinced that people who do that should be qualified. They should be able to read the Scriptures in the original languages and should be able to explain them faithfully, competently, comprehensively, from beginning to end. And so our goal has been to train, as J. Gresham Machen said, experts in the Bible. And so we're still trying to do that here at Westminster Seminary, California. One way I think that we can get at this is to ask people, would you go to a physician who hadn't gone to medical school? Would you go to a surgeon who received his training via the internet? Well, of course not. There's nothing wrong with learning over the internet and doing continuing education, but you want someone who went to a real medical school, someone who learned surgery the proper way and not at his kitchen table. So the same thing is true for pastors. You want people who are trained by seasoned, experienced pastors and scholars, and who are getting the very best possible training, because honestly, pastors only get one shot at being trained for ministry, and it needs to be done properly.
Westminster Weekend was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com, or you can give us a call, 360-318-0429. Again, that web address is lindenurc.com. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.